This episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the listener. You know where to do it. Patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway. A lot of activity over the past week. Can't imagine why. Big show today. Talk about the disaster that is Pavel Buchnevich's trade. We talk about the draft with our friend Drew Way. We talk about all things Chris Drury and how he's handled the first couple weeks. But of course, before we get to that, thank you so much for supporting. Thank you so much for listening. A lot of cursing on this episode. So if you are a child out there, maybe you don't listen because there are some nasty words said. And we'll be back on later this week on Wednesday after the free agents for Patreon.com. We'll be doing the BSBOT there. So let's get to Mark Messier, and then we'll get to a jam-packed show. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Welcome to the week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, of patreon.com/BlueShirtsBreakaway, where you can support this great podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello. All right,
big,
I have a good...
Big day. Mm-hmm. Big week.
I've got a good first segment. There's been a lot of news that comes out. So
yeah.
We'll go through it.
Dick Mountain.
Right, Dick Mountain to the Mets. And I think it's important. And there's only 82 of these, so we can go through them quick. But let's do wins and losses of the schedule. Okay, dog. October 13th at the Capitals. That's a win. That's a win. Tom Wilson? There's no way. Home opener, the Stars.
Oh, my God. If they sign Nick Ritchie, I swear to Christ. I really do. Like, there are a lot of things that test my patience.
I know. Nick Ritchie can play, but it's not about that.
No, he just sucks as, like, a person. But not even... Not even, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is something in his past that makes him the same kind of dislike I have had for Trevor Bauer before the Mets signed him. But he's just unrootable. He's one of those few guys where if the Rangers sign him, I'd be like, do I really have to?
People are probably asking, is this a legit rumor? It is not. Mr. Click King himself tweeted out when Nick Ritchie was not qualified by the Boston Bruins. Wouldn't that be interesting for Broadway or something of that ilk? So that is not on our top 10 list right now of things that are going on. So I hope
we have a top 10 list.
Well, I had not a top 10 list, but I will say the Buchnevich trade happened on a day in NHL history where I believe, and somehow, and I cannot believe this is possible, the Buchnevich trade was like the eighth worst thing to happen in the NHL that day.
Well, it's kind of different, right? Because the Buchnevich trade was the one trade where the team got too little for what they were giving up. Whereas every other trade, it was some team getting way more than they should have gotten for a certain player.
I've been surprised about a lot of things about the Buchnevich trade. Of course, I was raw, emotional, and hurt, just like everybody else out there listening to this now. If you're listening to this podcast, that you probably felt that way, or you hated Buchnevich and you wanted him gone for some reason because he was soft or some shit. I don't know. But I've read a lot of reactions, one from Dan Rosen, so I don't really talk about it, but one from Justin Bourne, who I genuinely like. He was like, this is a trade that makes sense for both teams. I was like, no, it made sense for St. Louis, and the Rangers offered it. Like, that's the craziest part about this whole thing, Greg, is that the Rangers pointedly, they went out and found, they were like, what about this? And Armstrong, the GM of the St. Louis Blues, was like, yeah, I have to do this. Like, this guy's really good. But meanwhile, Ristolainen, Seth Jones, the returns are massive. And those have massive implications on trading for Eichel and all that. So we can go all through it, but let's stick on Buch for now. I would call it egregious. I would call it a disaster. I would call it a stain on Drury's resume right away. Just a nasty coffee stain. And there are a lot of things that Chris Drury is doing that I enjoy. I like, there are some things I can see why he's doing that. But the Buchnevich thing is unforgivable, I think, on almost every aspect of it.
Well, Justin Bourne doesn't need me to defend him. But in a way, he's not wrong. It's a trade that makes sense. From the, I understand why the Rangers traded Pavel Buchnevich sense, right? We knew the Rangers wanted to move someone out from the top six. We knew they weren't going to trade Panarin. They weren't going to trade Lafreniere. They weren't going to trade Kako. That leaves you one winger.
One person.
We knew the Rangers were uncomfortable with going long-term with Buchnevich. And while Buchnevich is exactly the kind of player a playoff team would want, which is why the St. Louis Blues acquired him, you saw the pudding is clear as day that the Rangers, it got to a point where it seemed like Pavel Buchnevich was going to be moved. I understand that. And I even understand the aspect of getting Sammy Blaze in this trade, a guy who the Rangers clearly value for what he can do further down in the lineup in a reduced role, a guy who won't take time away from the younger players the Rangers are trying to.
Cost control, $1.5 million.
Yeah, but the younger players the Rangers are trying to promote in their lineup, he's not actively bad. Like, if he's the kind of guy you're trying to model your bottom six after, it's the right frame of mind, at least. The problem with the Buchnevich trade, and we, like, listen, I understand if you listen to this podcast, you understand that Ryan and I are both big Buchnevich fans. We don't like it when one of our favorite players gets traded.
No, it's
not a fun day. But at the same time, both of us would have told you, like, boy, this sucks on a personal level, but the deal made sense, if it made sense. We are not – there are some people out there that are like, oh, all these softies on Rangers Twitter that are upset because the Rangers traded Buchnevich, their beloved Russian, blah, blah, blah. Listen, first of all, shut the fuck up. Second of all, you're a fucking idiot. Third of all,
wow, really?
It's not that. I honestly 100% understood Pavel Buchnevich was leaving. I understood the scenarios in which it made sense to do. You and I are huge asset management boys.
Like,
I think that
disgustingly probably, so, Greg. Disgustingly so.
I would say this podcast only exists because we are asset boys, first and foremost. You go back, there were times when I was talking about moving.
I think what you're trying to say is we're asset men.
We love a good asset when we see it. This is just horrific.
2021, everyone.
Asset management. It's that simple. Look at it from any angle. The angle of which the Rangers said it's a salary dump move. So that's why they only got a second and a bottom six forward for him. Just factually incorrect. I understand not extending him. I do. But you could have played the one-year contract game. He ain't getting – if he gets offer-sheeted, you know what you get that's more valuable than a second-round pick and bottom six forward? Assets. I challenge some team to offer-sheet Pavel Buchnevich because he wouldn't have accepted one for less than $6 million. And that would have netted the Rangers a better package than what they got in this trade.
That's for sure.
If you want to play the one-year game with Pavel Buchnevich, first of all, very good hockey player. If your goal is to make a playoff push this year, you'd rather have a Pavel Buchnevich as opposed to not having a Pavel Buchnevich. And then if you all of a sudden get disenfranchised, the year's not going as you thought, guess who's a valuable trade asset at the trade deadline? And you literally just played this playbook 2-3 years ago with a guy by the name of Kevin Hayes, who netted you a first-round pick and a bottom six forward.
The fact that Kevin Hayes netted like almost more is sickening. Or definitely
more.
Almost
more.
The Nick Holden trade is almost equivalent to the Buchnevich trade, which just blows my mind. When
Ryan, the Rangers gave up more to move Mark Stahl than they did by trading Pavel Buchnevich.
I don't know. I don't know what else you want me to do. Buchnevich, like, I talk, you know, I don't shut the hell up. I think you know this. Both of us are big not shut the hell up boys. We both love it.
Whoa.
I know.
Wow.
And I spoke to so many people around the league. I'm not trying to Friedman this, but I was like, hey, can you try and make sense of this for me? I just don't understand. And it seems that Buchnevich didn't have, like, the perceived value, which goes back to the NHL is a dumb league kind of argument, which we will talk about extensively, I'm sure, at some point in this podcast. But I don't know how you could look at Seth Jones, you could look at Ristolainen, who was terrible in Buffalo. Absolutely garbage. I look at the red boxes, and they're very bad, and they say 1%, which I'm pretty sure, and I'm not an analyst guy, says that's terrible. Cool. So when somebody who I like and I'm talking to goes, hey, I think Ristolainen just really needed a change of scenery. What are you talking about? That guy is garbaggio. And then all of a sudden, the Flyers, by the way. Sorry, that shit is good. The Flyers give up a first and a second for Ristolainen. And listen, I know Chris Jurgen was shopping Buchnevich for weeks. Brooks reported it. Carp reported it. Vince reported it. We heard it everywhere. They were shopping him since May. They were like, hey, who wants Buchnevich? And the best thing they could find was a deal that St. Louis couldn't say no to. So is it just that the NHL isn't valuing Buchnevich? I mean, clearly you should have waited. Clearly you should have forced him into a one-year deal, traded him at the deadline, found another way. You could have waited till late August. There were plenty of ways to do this. No doubt about it. But in this situation, I think it could be that the league doesn't value Buchnevich the way they should. And maybe that's just the NHL being as dumb as it always is.
It's a very dumb league, as I've said, I don't know, countless times.
Literally every week, yeah.
Another part of this that is super confusing to me is Drury immediately comes out and says, listen, we can't pay everybody. There has to be some financial implications to this deal that we needed to take into consideration. To which I say, Ryan, again, what considerations for this year specifically? I understand if you're extending Mika Zibanejad, the extension kicks in next year. If you're extending Adam Fox, the extension kicks in
next year.
I understand Igor Shesterkin needs to get paid this year. I understand that Filipetto needs to get paid this year. I understand that you need to replace or pay Ryan Strom this year and next year. I get that. Next year, the Rangers probably would have a very hard time finding room for Pavel Buchnevich when it comes to the fact that, again, they have at least three wingers they like more than him, and they're already paying Chris Kreider. That's all fine and good. But for this season, again, if you just go the one-year route with Pavel Buchnevich, which the Rangers have done with the other restricted free agents they had during the rebuild, and again, you go the one-year route with Pavel Buchnevich when you're trying to make the playoffs, and he was your most complete forward, not just winger, forward last season, so he is a piece that could help you make the playoffs. It's just, yes, does it push the buck further down the road? Absolutely. Does it resolve some of the issues the Rangers have in terms of maximizing Pavel Buchnevich's value? Absolutely. But I got to tell you, if all you were going to get in a trade for Pavel Buchnevich was a second-round pick and a bottom six forward, I would have been totally fine with just letting him walk as a free agent. I think that's fair business and good business.
That's fine. You would have upped your chance. That's the Keith Yandel argument that you used to make with me. You were making a shot at making the playoffs and making impactful moments franchise.
Yeah, and I feel this way. This is largely how I feel, and don't even get me started on Met fans thinking that Brett Beatty is the fucking greatest prospect that's ever happened to the fucking organization.
Bro, Wander Franco, I'm a Rays fan. Like, he's up in the major leagues. You know what he's not doing? Hitting.
Yeah, but it's listen, there are times where the entire point of this, the end game, is to win, right? That is the whole point of this, Greg,
is so I can win a cup and we can stop podcasting. That's the whole point.
But it's not – I understand that there needs to be consideration for not just winning this year but winning in 2024. But if you legitimately – and the Rangers, again, whether the Rangers are correct or wrong in their assessment, they feel like they're ready to take the next leap. So there are certain times when you feel like you're in your contention window that it's just okay to acquire good players or keep good players and maybe let them walk as free agents. That's fine. That's how I feel. Like, this National League East season will never happen again for the New York Mets. So if it costs them a top prospect to go out and get a Chris Bryan and a Craig Kimbrell, do it! Because the whole point of having those prospects is to win a fucking championship. That's the whole thing. So that's my point with Pavel Buchnevich. The Rangers, whether we agree or disagree, Ryan, the Rangers are convinced they are ready to compete. They are making these moves. That's why you give Barclay Goodrow 6 years. That's why you want players.
You don't do that like unless Sammy you think plays. You could win. Clearly.
You don't. You don't do it. Speaking of winning, the Mets sure didn't. They just lost to the fucking Braves. Everything is great. But anyway, if the Rangers feel like they are that close to contending, then you keep Pavel Buchnevich for the 1 year and you say, well, shit. Thank you for the other extra year of service. We'll see you later. Unless, Ryan, the Rangers have a big money move that they want to make this year. And we are now far along down this Jack Eichel path.
Oh, my God.
Where we are pretty convinced the big money move is not Jack Eichel. To which I then ask,
what is it?
It has to be. If you don't have money to give Pavel Buchnevich $5.5 million for 1 year, that's because that $5.5 million for this 1 year is going somewhere else. To which I ask, where the fuck is it going? Who are you giving this kind of money to? Don't tell me it's Evgeny Kuznetsov. That doesn't make any sense. Don't tell me it's going to be Philip Deneau as a free agent. That doesn't make any sense. And I got to tell you, Christian Dvorak, if that's the trade you want to make, he's only making $4.5 million. So I don't know how the Rangers were like, listen, we don't have in our budget $6 million to pay one guy for 1 year. To which I say, okay, how don't you? The fuck are you doing this year? And I don't want to hear that they need to keep cap space open to make an acquisition sometime in season. Bullshit. The only reason you would make an acquisition on this team in season is if someone gets hurt. And if someone gets hurt,
you want to add someone like Pavel Buchnevich
just did? Yeah. Did you see what the Lightning just did? It's called long-term injured reserve.
It's called cheating.
That's what you do to open up cap space.
It's the best. My man, I just, when you're a team like this, I'm glad you mentioned Philip Deneau and all these other names. The Jack Eichel saga went over the weekend. You and I recorded a BSBOT for our Patreon last week. We said, likely Jack Eichel, I cannot see a situation where he's not on another team at the end of Friday. Boy, were we wrong. Also, we were wrong about the Rangers using their first overall draft pick. Seems that the Rangers and Eichel are extremely far apart. They won't offer Schneider. They won't offer Nils Lundqvist. Kako was floated as an idea by Vince, and he got ratioed in a way I've never seen before on Twitter.com, and I love Vince. And it's just, when do you use your assets? It seems like it should be now. If you're holding back on not trading one of Schneider or Nils, and it's just one of them, now I'm extra confused. Because, and I do know we had someone tell us, and I think this person was might even be on this podcast later, I'm not really sure, Drew, that is, say that it feels like they might be lowering the package elsewhere if Schneider or Nils are included. And Buffalo's been on this same package forever. They want the first equivalent to four first-round picks. So whether that's Nils, two first-round picks in the future, and then one other, maybe like Hedl, that's probably what they want. Maybe that's the package. But if that's the package that's going to get you Jack Eichel and your plan, which, again, Larry Brooks came out over the weekend and said, I don't think the plan is to keep both Eichel and Mika, which Vince today said himself, I've been told, or sources close to USA Today have said, the plan would be tight, but it's to have a tandem of Eichel and Mika and the role players in the bottom. Well, I don't know what's true. I don't know. I think you should be paying that price for Jack Eichel, who I think is now criminally underrated and has become villainized in Rangers Twitter. And he should be. It's not his fault that he's going through all this. I mean, he is trying to force his way out, so maybe it is his fault. But if you're a Ranger fan out there, I'm sick of it. I know you're sick of it, Greg. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Just get the trade done one way or another, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's the Rangers, who are apparently not even close in this situation. Get it done and let's move forward. But if it's not Jack Eichel, Greg, I don't know who it is. I don't know what the backup plan is, and whatever the backup plan is, it certainly doesn't feel like a, oh, now we're a cup team move.
Yeah, that last point, very important. But again, not to make everything about the New York Mets, but I have a brand that I need to keep up here.
Very important.
This is why I literally want to strangle every Met fan that's ever existed on the entire app of Twitter.com. The Mets have three third basemen of the future. They have Beatty, they have Mauricio, they have Vientos. Trade whichever one that an opposing team wants to get your guy, because I got news for you. Can't play three third basemen at the same time. The Mets have tried. They can't do it. That's how I feel about Nils Lundqvist and Braden Schneider. You don't want to trade both of them? That's great. Trade the other one. You can't have four right-handed defensemen in a three right-handed defenseman system. So whichever one you don't want, and it's starting to look like with the Patrick Nemeth signing coming up that it's going to be Nils Lundqvist that is going to stay here, which is good, by the way. Good
yeah,
player.
We're a big,
just because I've wanted
we're
to a trade big Nils him. Fan. I wanted to trade him because he's a really good player. And that is part of, you got to get to give, apparently. We understood the Sabres were dumb. I think we misinterpreted maybe how dumb the New York Rangers are. You're forgetting Jack Eichel, and you have four right-handed defensemen. All right, so trade one of them. Let's say Schneider in this instance. Fine. By the way, you're also getting Jack Eichel. So Philip Hedl, not exactly the most important piece you need anymore. And we've heard how many times now, Ryan, that the New York Rangers don't want skill players in their bottom six. So if you're getting Jack Eichel, Philip Hedl, a skilled player, is either playing wing or is not on the New York Rangers. You can trade him too. Trade as many first-round draft picks as you want for Jack Eichel. I would trade two in 2022 and 2024. I would even make the 2024 one conditional on Jack Eichel. I don't know, playing hockey. And then
being healthy.
Yeah. And then again, the skills players in the bottom six. All right. So the Rangers have four wingers right now: Lafreniere, Kako, Kreider, and Panarin. They also have a fifth winger by the name of Vitali Kravtsov. They've already said that Chris Kreider, again, they don't really want to play him in the bottom six, so much so that they want to move Alexi Lafreniere to the right,
yes,
which
sir.
Again means Vitali Kravtsov is not in your top six. So why is he here? You're telling me a trade of Schneider, Kraftsoff, Hedl, and two first-round picks doesn't get you Jack Eichel? It's, and if the Rangers are like, well, we don't want to pay that price, these players, you don't want to play them in the role that they're going to play if they're here. Those are the, that is Chris Drury. That is his words. He doesn't want those type of players on his third line. So if Filip Hedl and Vitali Kraftsov aren't in your on your third line, where the fuck are they playing? And if Chris Kreider has to be in the top six and you move Vitali Kraftsov over to the right-hand side, I ask again, how many fucking players are you playing in the top six? Are the Rangers going to do this crazy thing where they have three lines, a first line, a second line, a fourth line, and then extra players that they're just going to work into the lineup throughout the evening, but they're not going to call it a line because they can't play in the bottom nine? Like, I'm legitimately confused. And again, we know that they are dangling Strom so much that never has it seemed more apparent he will not be a New York Ranger, which means the Rangers, unless you're going to tell me, an organization that hasn't even committed to Filip Hedl being a center and continue to talk about him as possibly a winger is all of a sudden going to be like, by the way, Filip Hedl is our number two center, which again, fine, I'll roll that dice. But I have to ask one more time, where the fuck are you spending this money that you couldn't pay Pavel Buchnevich for a year?
So it's true, because Strom's going out. And you know he's going to get something like Ryan Reeves back or something like that. You know that's the case.
If the Rangers, as far as we've been told, are in this just unbelievable cap situation when they already have currently, as of today, about $16 million left to spend. And again, Zibanejad's money starts next year. Adam Fox's money starts next year. They're like, the money the Rangers are spending this year, I understand we didn't want to pay Barclay Goodrow $3.5 million. And I understand that Patrick Nemeth is going to get about $2.5 million. The Rangers, again, had $24 million in cap space. So it sounds like they still have $16 to $17 million in cap space that they claim they can't spend because they're up against it. I don't know what crack that the New York Rangers are smoking, but it seems fun, and I would like to try it.
I want some. That's what I keep saying. And I want to give Chris Drury some credit, because this, Lord knows nobody else will this weekend. And you might be right to do that, but I think the name and signing was good. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I enjoy the idea of the bottom six role players situation. And maybe you'll disagree with me, but I agree.
I'm totally fine, because the way the Rangers are doing it too, Ryan, is where they are acquiring guys that might actually also be good.
They're good.
They're not just getting plebs.
You can't listen. And I know. Please do not scapegoat these guys right away. And I know you're going to out there, but like Sammy Blais and then also Goodrow, like they're going to be fun to root for. Like they're going to be. They're better than just like guys you pick off of the street. They're good. They're good route,
They are both better and more important to the long-term future of the New York Rangers than Brett Howden.
Not even close.
Mission accomplished.
Not even close. So that makes you tougher to play against. And I agree with Drury's assessment of this. You and I watched the Rangers a lot last year. David Quinn had a hard time finding the appropriate spot for people who were skill players. He really did. There were the dreaded night of Lafreniere playing 12 minutes, the Kako nights of playing 15 minutes or less, and people freaking out because there were better players in the top six. Well, these bottom line role players know their role. It's the Bill Belichick model of do your job. And I don't mind the philosophy of going into do your job. I mind the philosophy of giving one of the do your job guys 6 years. I mind that. I mind trading one of your star wingers for one of the do your job guys and a 2022 over a second round pick, which could be probably equated to a first round pick in this year's draft if you want to look at it so flowery like that.
No, because again, that pick's going to the best case scenario is the Blues miss the playoffs, but even if the Blues aren't going to be
I'm just
one of the
talking about the
hockey.
Talent pool in 2022. That is it.
Still, you're talking about a pick that's going to be outside the top 50. And while this upcoming draft is going to be great, I don't think there are 50 first-round talents in next year's draft.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That's probably fair. I don't know enough. Maybe we can ask Drew when he comes on.
Then again, Atu Rati went, what, 51st this year?
54 to the Islanders.
Great. Just wonderful.
I'm not a prospect guy.
They have it so hard.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what I mean. I don't even know the names of most of them except for the first-round pick. We'll talk to Drew about that in a couple minutes and how he feels about the draft and all that. But this brings us back to Jack Eichel. Which it always seemingly does.
Actually, before we bring in Drew, I got to make up another point. Because again,
no, we got time.
Chris Drury did a lot of dumb things.
Okay.
A lot of dumb things. One of them, again, part of the reason it sounds like we took Offman, whatever his name is because he's a piece of shit to play against, which is fine. But it also sounds like he's not necessarily that far away from being an impact in the NHL. To which, again, I have to ask. The New York Rangers just hired a coach who says, I can't develop people basically in my bottom six. And again, the New York Rangers, a team drunk on wingers, so much so that they just traded their best winger for a less good winger and a less good draft pick. So you're going to tell me, Ryan, you're going to fucking tell me that the New York Rangers not only had to keep their first-round pick this year, a pick that you and I literally didn't do a draft preview episode
because we
were convinced
that
pick was not – it cost me $100.
It did.
When they made that pick. But you're going to tell me not only are you going to keep the pick you should have traded, but you're going to take a fucking left winger?
He could play the right.
Trust me, five more years.
So many people told me.
And Alexi Lafreniere for his entire fucking life?
So many people told me he could play the right side. I was like, all right, cool. Great.
Okay, cool. So again, you're going to take a right fucking winger when you apparently have Kaapo Kakko forever and you just traded Pavel Buchnevich because you're telling me that Vitali Kravtsov is the second coming of Jesus Christ.
And if you're out there, you're saying you always take the best talent available. We do say
I agree.
And if they believe that's the best talent, they should be taking that. That's why they took Schneider. They believed he was the best talent. They believed it so much, they traded up to do it. And look, they were rewarded for the first year. It's not like Schneider did anything to hurt his prospect stock. It's still extremely high. He won every single award, and hockey guys love him. And if you know anything about tough hockey guys, they get traded for a lot of pieces. And if Schneider becomes that's it. But
listen, neither of us, Ryan, neither of us are forgiving the absolute botch job that the Buffalo Sabres have done here. While the Sabres should get credit for the Ristolainen trade, no idea what the fuck Philly's smoking. Don't want any of that. Seems terrible. And they should get credit for some of what they did with with Reinhardt, getting a first-round pick in next year's draft, which, again, seems loaded, even though it's a top-10 protected pick. Loaded enough draft where you want as many first-round picks where you can take that pick and your pick and move up as far as you want. That seems great and good. But when Jack Eichel's agent is out there saying, my client is not going back to Buffalo, and you don't trade Jack Eichel in a draft year in which you say you love guys more than every other team in this draft, what in God's fuck are you doing? That's dumb. But again, if you're Chris Drury and you have a mandate, and I don't care if people say that he, as many times as he wants to go out in front of people and say it's not a mandate that he needs to make the playoffs, the only reason why Chris Drury has a job is because James Dolan was upset that the Rangers didn't make the playoffs last year.
And got handled by two teams in a row. When he was in the building one night, they opened the building. He was like, wow, we're opening MSG. I want to be there. I went to that game too. The Islanders crushed the Rangers. And then Tom Wilson destroys their whole franchise.
Yes. But you're going to tell me that guy who says he was angry about how those games went and that they didn't make the playoffs is all of a sudden going to be cool if the New York Rangers continue to not make the playoffs.
Doesn't seem
and
like
you
it.
Have a glaring hole that you have said exists in your top six. A hole, by the way, that you made bigger by trading away Pavel Buchnevich, and you are not going to use that asset to go out and get a piece, whether you and I agree with that piece is helpful. But Drury would think that piece is helpful, and he had an asset that he could use to go get that piece. And not only does he not use it, he takes a position, maybe arguably the one position the New York Rangers just don't need more help with.
That's true.
And that's how you're going to explain fucking Friday night.
That's true. There's a lot more to explain on Friday night because the NHL was a disaster. But I want to touch on Dano real quick because I just – the rumors are out there. He's a free agent. It seems like the Rangers have interest. If you sign Dano to like 5-6 years, that takes you out, obviously, of the Eichel everything on Wednesday. And I don't know how long free agency is going to go for hockey or how many. Usually it's the first day. Usually
it's the first hour.
Yeah, usually it's the first hour. There are deals done. There have been no rumors about Dano really connected to the Rangers. It seems like Drury's pretty locked up still in this case. They might look at him, but I don't know if. And maybe you feel differently. I know Dano is like this magical, wonderful face-off master and a defensive wizard, as most people call him. But I don't know if like the improvement from Strome to Dano is enough to where it brings you to the cup team you think you're going to be now. Yeah, you'll be strong defensively in your second line. Maybe you could just ask Artemi Panarin to score every single goal. Maybe that'll be the case. but I'm not sure he's so much better than Strome that I want to just give him the money instead.
Well, I will say this. If the goal is to look more like the Islanders, I don't know if a player exists that you could sign and replace Ryan Strome with. That would definitely make the middle of your team more
Islandery,
Islander relatable.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't know how you feel, Ryan. I think the New York Rangers will have a solution to who they want playing in their top six by Thursday afternoon. Because I don't think if the Rangers miss on Deneau, they have to make a trade that they either don't want to make or that they've been waiting to make just to see how they can do in the Deneau sweepstakes.
I respect Ray for waiting. Honestly, I do. Really important.
If Deneau doesn't come to New York, which again, you and I have not seen any rumors that legitimately connect him to New York, but we're at some point you just have to fit the square pegs where
that's
they go.
That's exactly correct.
So if it's not Deneau and the Rangers, what we do know, are very committed to moving Ryan Strome, which means they have a hole at center.
The Friedman, just aside, Friedman put out a recapping the weekend article, and in his trade part, he had two names, and of those two names, one of them was Ryan Strome. He was like Seattle, Vegas, or somewhere else. He's going. That's it.
Yeah. So if Friedman's writing about it, it's very well known that there are no secrets in hockey. It's the dumbest sport, not just in terms of management, but also insider. Frank Saravelli, you're back on my shit list.
Frank
crushed
it. You had
that one day where you did great.
Crushed it.
And then you immediately,
that was it,
immediately was like, oh, by the way, I guess he probably got yelled at by Bettman or something.
Something. Or like, can't break this. Hockey
but if it's, Ryan, if it's not Deneau, there isn't another free agent out there that really makes you think.
No.
So if it's not him, it has to be a trade. And if it has to be a trade, at some point, other teams understand that you have to make a move too. Drury's going to lose his leverage.
I don't know what the other center trade is. We've heard Bo Horvat. That's not happening. We've heard Thomas Hertl. Maybe that's something that gets discussed. I have no idea where they go for this.
But again, Hertl just puts you in a different Buchnevich situation, right? Because he's a unrestricted free agent after next season.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, I have to look at it from a if they understand this multi-year cap conundrum as well as they say they do, so much so that they don't want to keep one of their own players on a one-year deal, then whoever they are acquiring is getting multiple years of team control. And there aren't that many guys available who fit that billing. Again, Deneau's a free agent, so you get to decide how many years you want him. Kuznetsov has 3 years left on his deal. Eichel has 5 years left on his deal. As soon as you get past those two, I think Dvorak also has two or three years left on his deal. After those three, I don't know what player you are allowing to complicate your long-term cap window, so much so that, again, you didn't go out and actively get more for Pavel Buchnevich or simply just keep him for the 1 year. That to me, they have made it clear that there is a move that they are going to make that is going to be for multiple years and going to be significant enough that it's going to impact their top six, that they're not going to have Strome or Buchnevich back, and there's going to be a player that fills that void. I don't believe that player is on the Rangers currently, because that is not how they have set this up for us to believe. So then they are acquiring a player that will have a multi-year commitment at a fairly significant cap hit, whether it's $10 million, $6 million, $4.5 million, we don't know, but it's going to be so much that the Rangers are like, well, we have to do the math, not just for this year, but for the years in the future. Who the fuck is that player if it ain't Jack Eichel, and if it ain't Philip Deneau, and if it ain't Evgeny Kuznetsov? You've run out of options.
It is. Let me ask you one question, because I'm very, very curious as to what you think about this. A couple months.
I would trade Brett Beatty tomorrow for
Me too, buddy. Max Scherzer, Rays are interested, by the way. Buckle up.
Paying that contract.
Not the Rays, that's for sure. A couple months ago on the show, we had Larry Brooks on. Hoping to do that one day soon again, when the season gets closer. You mentioned a name in Matthew Tkachuk.
I sure did.
A name that we haven't really heard much since. There was a rumor one night that he wanted out of Calgary. Do you think the Rangers have any interest still? I know he's not a center. I'm aware of this. Mm-hmm. But He fits everything that we're looking for. It's a name that's kind of flown under the radar for a couple months here, and it's at least worth discussing for under 30 seconds.
The reason I'm going to say no is mostly because, again, it seems clear the Rangers are moving on from Ryan Strome, to which I don't think there's a way you can acquire Tkachuk without including Hedl and Kravtsov in it, similar to Eichel. So if Hedl's not here and Strome isn't here, there's no way Barclay Goodrow is here to be the Rangers' number two center. It ain't happening. I don't know how. Again, like, you have to think of it from the Rangers feel like they have a cap conundrum on their hands. So whatever money is left that is unclaimed, they've signed a bottom three pairing defenseman. They've signed a defensively responsible bottom six player. They've added another defensively responsible bottom six player in a trade. And they feel confident that their top six wingers are currently on this team. So much so that, again, we've been told that they don't want Chris Kreider playing on their third line. So I don't know how you fit Tkachuk and a center in. If there weren't Ryan Strome trade rumors, I could see it.
The answer is unfortunately trading Kapokako in that situation. But yes. Yes, that's what it would be.
Possible.
I want to do that, obviously. Kapokako fan club number one here.
But I'll also say this. If you don't think there's room for the Rangers long term for a $10 million Jack Eichel and a Mika Zibanejad extension,
yep,
there sure isn't room for a $10 million plus dollar Matthew Tkachuk extension and a Mika extension.
And I can't say this enough. Kapokako is underrated in NHL circles into where he didn't – I know he didn't put up the
points. We just saw Pavel Buchnevich got traded for a second-round pick and a fucking bottom six forward.
Right. And
you're going to tell me people are going to properly evaluate the defensive season Kapokako had last year?
They are not. And you should know that if they do trade Kapokako, the cost affordability of Kapokako over the next 5 years is so crucial to the Rangers winning a cup – it's almost hard for me to explain how crucial it is, because he's going to get bridged. It is going to be cheap. It's going to be like $2 million for like 2 years. It's going to be a whole thing with him, and to have him cheap as your first line right winger possibly is going to be a boon for a team that is going to want to compete clearly. And that is the main reason, among others, as to why you would never do that trade, the financial reasons.
I can't see a scenario in which the Rangers wrongly claim that they don't have money for Eichel and Zibanejad, but then all of a sudden have money for Tkachuk and Zibanejad. That doesn't, because honestly, it would not surprise me if Tkachuk gets more than Eichel, just because of when Eichel signed his deal and the reputation Tkachuk has in the NHL.
I would be
legitimately surprised if he didn't get 10.5 plus.
Before we get to our guest, is our guest ready, by the way?
Oh, I haven't texted him. I told him I'd text him when we're ready.
All right, sick. I just don't know why there's a drum circle that comes out of my outside of my house on Mondays when we record now. It's the only time of the week they come here. It's unbelievable.
Do you think it actually is Alain Vigneault?
All right, let's end on that. Let's transition over to our dear friend Drew Way. Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, we're back with our first and only guest, the prospect guru expert and most recurring guest, maybe other than Shayna, Drew Way. Drew, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Doing good. It was your weekend. It was the weekend of Drew in the draft. And we didn't expect to have you on at all. We were very adamant that there was no way they were going to pick. I said I would quit. I lied. So there's that. Eat that crow. And the Rangers did pick in the first round. I do have some questions about a lot that went down. But before we get into any of that, I think it'd be remiss if I don't ask this. Scale 1 to 10, your rating of the Buchnevich trade?
0.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
It was awful. There's no justification to it. And you said before we start recording, you guys did 40 minutes on this already.
Yes.
I don't think I need to expand, but it was even if I can get behind the mentality of why they traded it, the return still sucked. And it still represented terrible asset management. And that's all I have to say about that.
For sure. Let's get into the draft a little bit from a perspective of other teams before we get to the Rangers, because I don't want to spend too much time on the guys that went like the fourth round and the fifth and seventh. Like Hank Kemp, is he the 6'8 goalie or whatever? Big, strong, big body?
He's not the 6'8 goalie, no.
Okay. We'll get into it. I just know a lot of big bodies went out there, a lot of physical, tough, grinding games. But was there anything in the first round that shocked you?
Well, I guess outside of whatever the fuck Montreal thinks they're doing.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. For sure.
Yeah. Let me just say one thing on the Montreal thing. Like, obviously, it's just stupid and heinous and undefensible. But, like, the worst part is like, you know the way sports are. And it's like the sliding scale of, like, the better of a player you are, the more of a piece of shit you can be, and teams will put up with it. And so, like, given that weird reality we live in, like, Logan Mailloux wasn't even a first-round talent, in my opinion. In fact, even before I removed him from my rankings because of the story that came out about him, I had him as a fringe second-rounder. So, like, with the way stupid hockey men work, like, you can – I don't want to say you can understand, but you could see if it was, like, Alexei Lafreniere.
You mean, like, Tony DeAngelo?
No, like it's like an Alexei Lafreniere, like, caliber prospect.
Got
that
it.
You'll take at the end of the first, despite this, like, again, still wrong, but you can kind of understand where they're coming from. But, like, this kid was, in my opinion, like, a fringe second-round prospect that they reached for in the first, and then you get all this other baggage.
After he asked not to be drafted!
It's just so
stupid. That's
so
silly! And now they're going to sign Tony, and they could be full of assholes. So whatever.
Oh, and I think they already have... who's the player who, a few years back, like, got in a lot of trouble because he, like, beat the crap out of his nanny, or he was, like, sleep...
Lord if I know. I don't follow Montreal hockey that closely.
No, it's not Montreal. I think it was, like, a Nashville Predator player. Some of the people listening are probably sitting there screaming at their phones.
Was it like Austin Watson?
No. Watson was bad, but no, it was before. It was like
The fact that we could name about seven different names and be like, "Hey, was it that guy?
Hey, this guy? What about
the
this
guy I'm referring to now? Works for the Canadians, I believe."
Okay, great.
Mark Bergevin. You mean the guy who was in charge?
Allegedly. No slander. No slander.
System in
2010? Allegedly. Not getting sued.
I was just stating a fact. He was with the Blackhawks organization in 2010. Yeah,
that's a fact.
Nothing but a fact.
Yeah. I mean, so to Greg's point, that just that crap aside with Logan Mailloux, I mean, the fact that the Senators drafted Tyler Boucher number 10, I thought was shocking. Like, literally, when that pick happened, I tweeted out LMAOOO with a laughing emoji, just because, like, there was a rumor earlier in the day that the Rangers were considering Boucher at 15, 16, whatever you want to call the Rangers pick. And I was, like, furious. Like, this is ridiculous if the Rangers take him here. And, in fact, I don't know if it's his brother or his cousin, but someone supposedly related to Boucher commented on me saying, "I'm bookmarking this." And I saw he did it to a bunch of people. So he's going to be awfully disappointed in 5 years when he's got nothing to do with all those bookmarks. But, yeah, the fact that Tyler Boucher, who I think I had ranked in, like, the late 50s, went 10, like, that was crazy to me.
Yeah, that's a guy – where'd you have him ranked, in the second round somewhere, third?
Yeah, late second round, yeah.
And that's just the physical grit thing that happens, right? And Ottawa's loaded with prospects, and maybe they're thinking the Chris Drury thing, like, hey, we have too much skill.
No. Okay. This is what happens when you're stupid and you hire Pierre Maguire to allow
decision
making.
Good kid that went to some high school where he had pancakes with his friends.
Are you telling me Brian Boucher's son, who, you know, Brian Boucher works for NBC Sports, doesn't get to tell Pierre Maguire just how special his son is?
And like I said, and the worst part is now, and one of Boucher's relatives, I think it's his cousin, is now going around bookmarking everyone talking shit about the pick.
Good for the kid. I feel bad for the kid, but got to laugh at the Senators in that kind of respect.
The Senators legitimately had, like, top to bottom, the worst draft by far I've ever seen in my time doing this prospect stuff. Canadians, debacle aside.
That's incredible. Good for them. We get to a situation where the Rangers are now at 16, and there are the two center prospects, and then there is the number one ranked goalie in Wallstedt, who I ended up talking myself into, which I'm sick about, available to them, and they go with someone named Brennan Othman. How'd I do?
Yeah, you said that one right.
Nice. And he's a left winger who could also play right wing, quick shot. I know that we maybe overreacted because there were other other prospects available. I know he wasn't your best available at that spot, but you could see the logic behind it if I'm asking you straight up to just give me the facts.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a lot like the Vitaly Kravtsov pick back in 2018. And this draft actually is a lot like the Rangers draft in 2018, where in a vacuum, most of the picks they took were fine and perfectly justifiable. But there, you had two things going on. You had, they were in many instances, they were passing up clearly higher, you know, more elite talent players for the guys they took. And then also you had a little bit of a snowballing effect where pick after pick, they were passing on these guys that the general Twitter and prospect community really like. So it's like the anger was like building and building.
And that's prospect echo chamber a little bit, right? Because that happens in baseball too.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of it. And it's, and what it is it's because the overwhelming majority of people reacting angrily to this stuff on Twitter are just, they're reading me, they're reading Bob McKenzie, they're reading all these, you know, these other people. And so they're seeing a lot of the similar opinions. So when all of a sudden something is very off the board from all these public lists that are out there, you get this outrage. But I mean, to your question, like Brendan Hoffman in a vacuum was a perfectly reasonable pick at 16. Most lists that I saw had him ranked anywhere from like 14 to 30. I had him ranked 23rd and on my third tier, which goes 16 to 28. And as I always say, like the tier is more important than the rank. The way I view the tier is you can put him in any order within that tier. And like, I would never reach below, you know, I would never reach to a different tier to draft for need, but within a tier, that's when you start to consider things like need and fit and all that. And Brendan Hoffman was a perfectly fine pick there. Yes, he's gritty, and people hear that he's like this gritty two-way-ish player and just assume, oh, like someone said to me, oh, you can get that in the second round. Well, no, he's legitimately a first-round talent. He's a good skater. He's got a wicked, wicked release. He's got a relentless, he's relentless on the forecheck. He's a great, you know, a motor that never ends. He's pretty smart. He's a decent playmaker. What I would compare him to is take Zach Hyman, who is about to, you know, make $6+ million a year and has been playing successfully on a line with Austin Matthews. Take Zach Hyman and give him a better shot.
I mean, that sounds pretty and nice, that, if I'm being
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, like, you know, people always want like the highest, highest upside person you can get. But when you're talking middle of the first round, if you're telling me that you just drafted Zach Hyman with a better shot, like that's a good pick. That said, yeah, I would have personally rather drafted Chaz Lucius, who's perhaps one of the best all-around, well-rounded goal scorers in the class, or Atu Ratu, who inexplicably dropped to the middle of the second round. They went and had a 4-goal performance the first game after the draft, or Fedor Svechkov, who went a couple picks later.
Well, Drew, is this the part of the podcast where I ask you if it's just fucking outrageous the Rangers kept this pick and took a winger?
I mean, again, it's... I mean, you've said this in the past, like you've always...
I'm a best player available guy for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, he wasn't the best player available on my board, but I'm going to assume he was the best player available on the Rangers board. And when Drury was talking afterwards, he tried claiming that like, no, we weren't reaching for size or grit or these factors. We're just going by a list. But it's pretty clear by especially some of the choices they made later on that their list was absolutely influenced by things like size and style of play and this and that. Okay, Hoffman at 16, like that's not the pick that I'm going to be outraged by. Like honestly, like he's the type of player that 5 years from now probably will be a fan favorite, and very likely people aren't going to be crying about why didn't we take Chaz Lucius, who I love, but he has a pretty bad injury history and is a spoiled brat. Like his parents made their own hockey team so he could play on it growing up. So like there are
that's exactly why Chris Jordan drafted him. Like that's the main reason.
Yeah, there are certainly reasons to why you talk yourself out of him. Or with Fedor Svechkov, he is playing for one of the richest KHL. He's in one of the richest KHL systems. And the worry with those players is always with like the guys that are part of like SKA and some of those richer teams out there that it's harder to get them to come over because those teams can pay them enough to stay over there for years. So it's, again, I would have taken Lucius or Svechkov, but there's actual logic behind the Brendan Hoffman pick. Like I'm not sitting here saying, hey, they knocked it out of the park, this was a great pick, but it's not worth getting super upset over, if you get what I'm saying.
I do. I do. The one player I really did talk to myself into, and I'm super against doing this, and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, was Walstead. I talked to myself, I was like, oh, their goalie prospects are pretty dried up. Igor, who knows, after the 5 years, if we give him a 5-year deal, Walstead will be available by then. When's the next time we're going to have a chance to draft a goalie of this caliber? Where does Walstead rank on, like, I guess, prospect goalies over the past couple years? And I know first-round goalies don't really do much unless they're in the Stanley Cup and they're Carey Price and Vasilevskiy.
I mean, honestly, Walstead would have been a fine pick there, too. I mean, he's an elite, elite goaltender prospect. Like, I'm very adamant, like, don't take goalies in the first round unless they're just that special, and he is that special. He's every bit as good, if not better, than Spencer Knight. And I can't believe I'm blanking on the Russian kid from last year's name. Yaroslav Askarov. Like, right. He's every bit as good, if not better, than them. Like, stylistically, he's Henrik Lundqvist, but taller.
Like, see, that makes me sick. I'm just going to throw it out there. I know it doesn't matter. It's going to be a long time.
Yeah, but that would have been a perfectly justifiable pick. And, like, the argument for it would have been the Tampa Bay Lightning model. When they took Andre Vasilevskiy in the first round, they had Ben Bishop, who was at the time considered, like, a no-brainer, you know, number one goalie. Why would you go and take a goalie in the first round? And, you know, shit happens. And, you know, one bad injury and, like, the goaltender position, like, you make a wrong split and you tear your groin bad enough and you're never the same again. Like, you know, one bad injury and you're just one bad injury away from needing that pick. So, like, you know, Walstead, generally speaking, was largely considered a clear-cut top 10 prospect. So if they would have taken him at 16, that would have been fine, too.
Makes me sick a little bit. Greg?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I'm so flabbergasted by the events in which the New York Rangers are in this position where they've traded Pavel Buchnevich essentially for a second-round pick, and they kept their first-round pick in a year in which we thought the Rangers would be going for it. I guess I'll get down to blunt facts here. Drew, you're our prospect guy. Mm-hmm. Is it irresponsible for the New York Rangers to not move one of Nils Lundqvist and Braden Schneider for a clear-cut top-six center?
I mean, it depends. So I saw the story, and from what I've been told from, again, I'm not, you know, nearly as well sourced as a lot of these other people, but I think it's pretty clear that all the news stories we've seen over the last day or two have all been purposely leaked for negotiation reasons. My understanding is, like, the report made it seem like the Rangers wouldn't trade Lundqvist or Schneider one for one for Eichel, and that's asinine. And that's not true. What I've heard is it's a sliding scale, and it's like every time Lundqvist or Schneider were sort of brought up as part of the package, the rest of the package drastically dropped to the point where it wasn't really reasonable. And I get that's in essence the same, but it is also two very different things. So it's not that they're off the table per se. It's just once they're put on the table, you take so much other off the table that it's not really realistic for Buffalo to do. And it's just all the shit we've heard the last couple of days, like, it's obvious all the camps involved, they're purposely leaking things for negotiating power. All of a sudden, 10 other teams are involved in the
mystery teams.
Yeah, like, it's all bullshit, and it's all part of the negotiation. Buffalo is clearly frustrated that they're not getting the value they hope for Eichel. Well, maybe if you weren't such a coy little prick about his medicals, people would up the ante a little bit.
Right.
But in a vacuum, like, I have no problem, especially Braden Schneider, like, including him in a trade package for Jack Eichel.
Well, yeah.
If you told me right now that the offer was, you know, one of Strom or Hedl plus Schneider plus our 2022 first plus, you know, Kraftsoff or another, I'm driving them all to Buffalo myself for Jack Eichel. Like, I'm a big, you know, studs and duds, like, build type. I will take the high-end elite top 10 player in Jack Eichel and sacrifice a lot of this prospect depth that we've built up over the last few years, no questions asked. And I love Kraftsoff. I love some of these pieces, but none of them are even remotely close to the impact that Jack Eichel could make. And, like, yeah, there's some risk with the neck injury. Well, that's why you're probably going to be able to get him without including Kako. If Eichel had a perfectly clean bill of health and just put up a 100-point pace season last year, then, you are talking Kako and all that stuff. Yeah, so it's – again, I'm all for trading for him. But I think a lot of the stories that have been leaking the past couple days are – clearly been leaked for a reason.
Not to cut you off, Ryan, mm-hmm. but you know I love doing it.
Yep.
while we're going on perfectly, perfectly placed and timed stories, do we get the feeling then that the Rangers or Larry Brooks, the Click Kling, coming out saying, by the way, the Rangers have signed a Swedish father who is good defensively and will look after Nils Lundqvist. And a coincidence that got leaked today when we're talking about defensive prospects that the Buffalo Sabres may or may not be able to get from the New York Rangers.
It's probably not a coincidence at all, but at the same time, like, he was one of the guys where a lot, like, the analytics community have had circled a little while back. Like, this, like, if a team's looking for a depth, like, left-handed defenseman, this is the guy you should be targeting for cheap. And it makes all the sense in the world for the Rangers to do that. And to be honest, like, my fear, especially with some of the way that Drury's operated in the last couple of days, like, I was pretty afraid that Drury, much like his predecessor, you know, JD, thought that Braden Schneider is a better prospect than Nils Lundqvist. And I know we have a couple people here in particular that really, really love Braden Schneider that listen to this. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's Braden Schneider is a very good prospect. He's not in the same fucking stratosphere as Nils Lundqvist in terms of the quality of prospect he is. And it seems, based on, if we're going to go by the mentality that this is a conveniently timed story by Brooks, and I agree, it seems that the Rangers clearly are saying, we're planning on having Nils Lundqvist be our third pairing defenseman last year, and perhaps they're a little bit more willing to trade Braden Schneider, and that's objectively the right move. Nils Lundqvist is arguably the best defensive prospect in all of hockey. At worst, he's the second best.
Who's the first best if it's not him?
Probably Moritz Seider.
Okay. I do want to follow up about Schneider, and you've said so many nice things. Last year you came on this podcast and flamed him. Has he improved or decreased his prospect status after the flaming of drafting him?
I mean, listen, I think he's about the same. I mean, he's in the eyes of many, he's improved it because he went out. He had a very good, yet abbreviated season with the WHL. He was named the top defenseman in the WHL. He had a great campaign on the Canadian junior team. But personally, of all of my, you know, I've always said he's a good defenseman, but my fears are guys like him who are so reliant on their physical dominance sometimes struggle for that to translate to the NHL, at least at the level at which they've been able to succeed with it in the juniors. And that just, by the nature of the way he plays, that still exists. And I'm not going to be convinced otherwise until I see him do it in the AHL. He's a very good prospect, and he deserves to be highly regarded and deserves to be a piece that Buffalo wants in return for Eichel. But I just think it's objectively false to think that he is the same caliber of prospect as Nils Lundqvist at this point.
Boy, he is just the Ranger equivalent of Brett Beatty. I am 100% convinced, and Drew will never understand that reference. Drew, talk people.
Wait, hold on. While we're on the baseball talk, I'm assuming that's a baseball player.
Yes.
I'm going to take a little pause in this and say, I'm assuming both of you guys watched Sandlot growing up, right?
Yeah.
Sure did.
Okay, so a little bit of a parent corner to derail us here. So my three-year-old son, Declan, all of a sudden loves Sandlot. He's been watching it nonstop for the last week. Do you guys remember the scene where, you know, Benny jumps over the fence, gets the ball from the Beast, jumps back, and then he realizes that Beast is top of the fence? Do you remember what Benny's reaction is?
No, I do not.
He just screams, "Oh, shit." And so ever since that happened, now Declan just keeps going, "Oh, shit." And then so my wife and I would be like, no, Declan, you can't say shit. That's a bad word. He goes, "No, I don't say shit. Benny says shit. The TV says shit. I don't say shit." And I'm trying to explain to him, like, are you saying that? You just said shit 15 times in that one sentence. And he just keeps, "I don't say shit. They said shit."
I think you have
congratulations. Congratulations, Drew. You gave birth to a fucking lawyer.
You also gave birth to a podcaster in this case, for this podcast. That's for sure.
Oh, it's so – That he loves that, and he loves the scene where freaking Squint snakes a kiss from the lifeguard. I'm like, oh no, this
no,
isn't
this is bad.
Maybe tell him not to do that in the 2020 plus world. All I'm saying,
anyway,
has not aged well. Also, don't eat gum out of baseball card decks. Probably shouldn't do that either. Anyway, Drew, what I was going to ask before we went down this beautiful rabbit hole, explain to listeners why it's probably a good thing that if Zach Jones is still within the Rangers organization, he gets to start the year in Hartford playing top 4 minutes.
He's not really ready for the age. He's not really ready for the NHL yet. Like, yes, like he came up for a few games at the end of last year and played well, but he also that happens often with prospects. We see where, like, they pop for a few games and then they kind of come back to earth a little bit as the league adjusts to them. We kind of saw that with Keandre Miller, honestly, where he had like that great start to the season last year, but trailed off big time towards the end of the year. Look at Brett Howden. That's like the number one example of what happens when you don't let a kid properly develop in the AHL who isn't quite ready to come to the NHL. They don't succeed, and then their confidence gets shot, and then everything spirals from there. And so I would always – like, and I get, like, you have a couple people out there that are, no, just bring the kids up immediately. Just throw them to the wolves in the NHL and let them learn that way. Like, sure, some people might learn that way. Some people learn from being thrown to the deep end and say, okay, learn how to swim. A lot of people don't, and a lot of people get their confidence ruined by doing that. Very rarely,
Kako's one of those people.
Exactly. Very rarely does someone lose their confidence by being asked to play in the AHL a little bit too long. But very often do they lose their confidence if they're forced into an NHL role and then fail, and then it's hard to get them back. And so it's honestly there. I don't view there be any risk whatsoever. Put Zach Jones back to the AHL. You have better options. I'm sorry, Nils Lundqvist, much better prospect than Zach Jones is as well. And I like Zach Jones a lot. You know, it should be Lundqvist, Lundqvist on the third pair next year, assuming everything goes well in training camp, stuff like that. Let Zach Jones develop a little bit more. And once he builds a little bit more strength, gets a little bit more of an confidence in his overall game, then bring him up as needed.
Drew, before we're going to do some five-star questions from our dear Patreons, but before we do that, I kind of want to recap the rest of the draft and get your quick feelings on some of the players. Do you want me to say their names?
Yeah. Yeah, go for it. I told you beforehand. Yeah, I was going to especially make you say two of those.
Yeah, so this is Jaden Grubbe?
Close, Grubbe.
Okay.
McGruber. Yeah, I didn't like this pick. I mean, he's a fine player. He was someone who came into the season and was projected to be like a second round pick. And so, like, it would have been fine, but he blew out his ACL. And that's a big deal. And you can't just be like, well, if he never blew out his ACL, he would have been a second round pick. But he did. And not only did he blow out his ACL, but when you look at the draft board, like 8 of the next 10 guys that went right after him, I all had ranked in the top 50, including you had Sasha Pastajov went to Anaheim. The next pick, I had him ranked 18th overall.
Oh my God.
You had Samu Salminen, who, if the argument was, well, we wanted a center there after taking a winger and Grubbe is a center, Samu Salminen also is a big 6'3" center that I had ranked 46, but it's just a much better overall and skilled player. Then you had a very good defenseman in Stanislav Svozil, who went, I had him ranked 36th. Simone Robertson, I had ranked 22nd. Anton Olsson, I had ranked 41st.
True, I believe you.
But the point is I had, like, the pick in and of itself, I didn't really like, even in a vacuum. But then when you compound it with the fact that multiple top 50 and also multiple top 25 talents went immediately following him. So sorry, I can't get behind that pick. That was probably their worst pick of the draft, or the second worst pick of the draft, if you're asking me.
They go next in their 10 picks later at 75. They pick Ryder Krozak.
Ryder Krozak. This was a great pick. They traded up to get him, and this was swinging on talent. With Grubbe, they took a big, defensively reliable center, and cue all the bullshit rhetoric that Chris Drury and co have been spitting all offseason. Ryder Krozak is a highly skilled, smallish center who I had ranked, I want to say about 50 or so, or 48th. And this was a phenomenal, even trading up to get him, a phenomenal pick in my mind, taking him at 75, clear A grade in terms of this player here. He had a phenomenal D1 season, came into the season widely regarded as a first round player. Didn't need any struggle this year, but again, like the circumstances of this year, you can't really blame a kid for struggling a little bit. But when you watch him, the thing that jumps off the page or that jumps off the screen is he's a fantastic puck handler, and he's so deceptive with the puck on his stick. He's a decent skater, good passer, and he actually has a pretty good two-way game too. So even if you're looking from the Drury lens, if I want a good two-way player too, he's got all the traits to allow himself to be a good two-way player. So even if his lack of offensive production this year ends up being more of the norm, he still has enough other traits that should allow him to be a capable NHL player for years.
Drew, it sounds like your mic went off there for a
second. Oh, like we're going to actually cut this part.
No, I'll cut it out. Do you want me to? I'll keep it in.
I don't get it. So yeah, Brett, you're the maestro.
Brett Beatty.
Is that better?
I think so, yeah. Try one more time.
Yeah?
Nice.
You guys hear me okay now?
Yeah. That's
sure.
Good. Yep. All right. So
cool.
Brody Lamb is where we were. People had a conniption.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's highly skilled, but high upside, high risk. Just as likely he will never be an NHL player as there is that he'll be an impactful NHL player. But the kind of upside swing you like to take in the fourth round, I will say there were some better options on the board still. And so I don't think this is like quite the slam dunk that some people make it out to be, but the kid's got fantastic highlight reels playing against other high schoolers. He did struggle though, once he went to the USHL for a cup of coffee at the end of the season, but it's a very good pick in the fourth round. I'd probably rate this like an A- pick in the fourth round.
Awesome. Just to call it up here, there's a couple more players here that were taken. Kaylee Vanisenin, good. Talon Bokio Coco. And then
Kaylee Vanisenin.
Nice. Yep.
And this is your typical, like, you watch him one game, he looks really good. Watch him the next game, you don't even notice him. Perfectly fine pick to take in the fourth round. Has some traits that you like. Is a pretty good playmaker. Is a decent skater, considering the fact that he's 6'4". But you know, typical fourth round pick. Probably won't make the NHL, but is a fine flyer to take.
There was one more goalie taken. And is there anybody else you want to talk about from the rounds 4, 5, and 7 here?
Yeah. So the goalie pick was terrible. That's the worst pick in the class, especially when you look at some of the people that were still available, including two of my Ty Smith Memorial Trophy finalists, Woo! Red Savage and Sean Chagall, were still on the board at that pick. And instead we took a 6'8" goalie who barely has a 90 save percentage in his career in juniors. But I want you to now pronounce the name of the fifth round pick.
That is Jaroslav Chmerlar.
So I actually had to listen to this like 15 times on Elite Prospects to try to get an understanding of how this is supposed to be said. I think it's Jaroslav Melosh.
Cool. There's a CH there, Drew. before we're going to get to some five-star questions if you want to stick around, or otherwise you have to go be a dad.
Yeah. You know what? I hear my son from upstairs yelling that he's got to go to bed now. So okay. I'll let you guys tackle the five star.
It's oh shit o'clock. I respect it.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, exactly.
Drew. Can't thank you enough, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, thanks so much for having me on as always. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. All right, Drew. Sorry, Greg. We're going to just keep recording. I'm not even stopping.
Oh, hey, what up?
We're gonna go to five-star questions. If you want to leave a five-star question, you can leave them in our five-star question channel on Discord. How do you get to the Discord? You go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway, where you can join us and talk to us, chit-chat with us all day long. And all dear Ranger fans, patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway. Let's go to the first question. Hey, future. This is from McBearcat75. I'll just say McBearcat. Hey, future Ryan Mead and hey, future Greg Kaplan. It's 4:11 right now on the day of the draft, and Booch got traded without any other info. How are you feeling in this brief moment, and do you laugh at what you felt knowing what you know now? No, we didn't laugh, and we talked about it for 40 minutes. We did cry.
If anything, we feel worse.
Jess Gypsy asks, what did we do to deserve this pain?
Touched ourselves. Next.
Yeah. It's a sin. I don't know what to tell you. This is Chris from Florida, Capococco Praise B24. What's the timeline and the package for the Eichel trade? Fuck if we know. Do you think the Rangers go in a different direction or now or continue waiting on Buffalo? Listen, we've been wrong before. We didn't think they're making the draft pick. We thought it'd be happening by Friday. I would say it has to be done by Wednesday. But hell,
I don't know what I'm saying. I've been consistent from the jump, Ryan, that Chris Bryant was getting traded first.
You have been. I will say that. Speaking of which, David, should the Mets trade for Harvey since it would cost nothing?
God, no.
Okay. Adam Kopelik. I think I said that right. I'm sorry. Something may please happen on a Monday night, but regardless, what would happen for Drury to get an A+ this season in the offseason, or as close as possible? There you go.
That's the thing. And I don't know if we did a great job making this clear in the day that it happened and earlier on this podcast, but I think it's worth saying again right now. Even if the Rangers had traded for Jack Eichel 25 minutes after the Buchnevich trade was done, it still doesn't defend how bad the Rangers did in the Buchnevich trade, right? Like,
nope.
We could have understood the long-term goal and said, at the end of the day, the New York Rangers definitely improved by getting Jack Eichel for much less than we thought they would. But at the same time, like, the Buchnevich trade, independent of everything else, it's horrible asset management of Buchnevich. And it doesn't matter if it really, because again, like, you have to understand the people that'll hear this part of the podcast and just yell at us and say, but we got Jack Eichel. What does it matter what we got for Pavel Buchnevich? It matters because you should have done better there and you still could have gotten Jack Eichel. Like, they don't have to be reliant on each other, especially if they're not getting traded for each other.
They are independent.
There's just no reason. Yeah, there's just no reason the Rangers couldn't have gotten a first-round pick for Pavel Buchnevich, which means even if they end up one day with Jack Eichel and they use the second-round pick that they got from St. Louis in order to get Jack Eichel, it doesn't justify the Buchnevich trade. We at least would understand the reasoning behind the Buchnevich trade, but that return is still bad. So even if I think there's no way for Drury to get an A-plus this offseason.
No way.
I think there are ways for him to finish with a grade from like 90 to 95, obviously. But no, the Buchnevich trade is so bad that there's no way he can score above a 95 in my mind this offseason.
I heard it.
And honestly, the way things have gone so far, the Eichel trade will have to blow my socks off for it to be above 90.
It has to be real cheap. Really cheap.
Yeah, because again, like if it's not Eichel, and we got really angry about this before. If you're just going to give Deneau money, that's not good.
That's your team, but that's what you're going to war with.
That's what I'm saying, and not just that's what you're going to war with. That's what you're going to war with for the next 3+ years.
That's your window. Like this is how you're trying to win a championship.
The last missing piece, when you really think about this Ranger team, is whatever they want to do at the second center position. Everything else is kind of here for the long term.
It's in place.
Lafreniere's not going anywhere. Kako's not going anywhere. Panarin's not going anywhere. They've made it clear Zibanejad's not going anywhere.
Kreider can't go anywhere.
Truba can't go anywhere. Fox isn't going to go anywhere. Lindgren isn't going to go anywhere. One of Lundqvist or Schneider isn't going to go anywhere. Keandre Miller's not going to go anywhere. Igor Shesterkin probably not going to go anywhere. Like, the New York Rangers, this is going to be the team for the next 3+ years at least. So they have to get this other center. They have to get it right. And if they get it wrong,
that's it.
This is it.
This is it.
Like this is the team that the Rangers have decided this is going to be good enough to get us to a Stanley Cup final.
You're looking at the second Sidney Crosby era of hockey, when Sidney Crosby and Malkin were in like their second prime, you know, after they won the first cup, and then you have to build around them again. And that's with Lafreniere and Kako. And you have to hope that they become Malkin and Lafreniere and Sidney Crosby.
The difference is Sid Crosby and Malkin are centers.
They're both centers. Yes. That's a big deal. All right, this is from Chris in Norway. What do you think the package for Dylan Larkin looks like, and is he good enough to upgrade from Strome at that price? Maybe it's time to seriously look at a cheaper options at sea. I have heard Dylan Larkin's name from some people I trust. I think the Rangers looked, but you'll never know what the price is because Yzerman is a wizard, and he doesn't talk about anything.
Yeah, and then Yzerman comes out and says, you're going to have to ask Carolina what the fuck they were thinking.
Honestly, that was a baller. That was such a baller move, to be honest.
Incredible. Again, like if Steve Yzerman or the Tampa Bay Rays call me and they're being like, hey, man, that 2013 Honda Fit you're driving, we're really interested in. I'd be like, cool, thank you, but it's not for sale. I'd hang up the phone and immediately be like, why is my Honda Fit worth so much? Yeah, like what have you done, Honda Fit, that you are worth so much money to these really smart people? Like, that's why people, understandably, listen, it was Tommy Hunter who's injured for the entire year and a fourth-round catcher that was only a fourth-round catcher because Brody Van Wagenen made it clear he just wanted to pay two people and just took whatever else was available and gave him the minimum wage. But at the same time, I don't know what Matt Dyer is going to become, but I'm sure the Rays value him more than the Mets ever did, and that fucking scares me. When they were very clear that they just didn't want Rich Hill anymore because the young guys were just ready. So, like, here's this 41-year-old pitcher who's 2 years older than your manager and 6 years older than your pitching coach, and you can have him every 5 days. He'll probably get injured, but enjoy. So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, okay, so why are you going for Matt Dyer, who's got a 258 ISO, has hit as many home runs as he's stolen bases?
They see something. You know they do.
He's going to be Mike Zanino, who can get 20 stolen bases in a year? That's fucked up.
Yeah.
If the Mets had that, I'd prefer to just have that.
But they have Francisco Alvarez. You're okay. This is from Ruby? Robbie? Which are one of them. On the latest 31 Thoughts episode with Elliot Friedman, he said that hockey is the hardest major sport to get better at because limited ice time, among other things. Do you guys agree? Yes. Very hardcore on this. Because you can go out and play basketball every single day at your local court. You can there's if you live in a city, there's tons of courts to play at. You can play soccer anywhere. It's hard to get a baseball game together, but at least you can go to the batting cages. You can simulate these things.
I disagree. I think it's as easy to skate around on roller skates in your driveway, and while you're not physically on the ice, you're at least mimicking the routines enough. I don't I would still say baseball. It's just baseball to get better at a lot of the things is one impossible to do on your own. Like if you want to improve your fielding,
that's fair.
Are you just going to catch like shadow baseballs and throw shadow baseballs? Like you need someone with you in order to get better at baseball. Whereas in hockey, you can work on individual traits a little bit more on your own. And also I'm not downplaying how hard it is to be a hockey player, how hard it is to fucking just skate backwards, full stop.
Right.
But the hardest thing to do in any professional sport is differentiate between a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and an 83-mile-an-hour curveball when you only have, you know, less than half a second in reaction.
I would say stopping a 113-mile-per-hour puck at your face sometimes is pretty hard. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but at the same time, all you have to do is have your face in front of the fucking puck. Like, if as long as you're wearing a mask, you're good. You just have to be in the right spot. Whereas, like, I to this day I don't know how people hit baseball.
One thing I want to extend on Rubby here is I do think that we don't make enough of practice time, and the fact that Kako and Lafreniere got limited practice time in their rookie years because of COVID, because of the pandemic, and because of other circumstances, I really think affected their outcomes. And we practice is really important, and yeah, I cannot explain how I'll important say- it is.
There is no sport more expensive than hockey. That's the only sport probably more expensive than hockey is golf.
Polo.
From that,
horse.
Is it really a sport? You're riding a horse and you're hitting a ball.
I think it's Olympics.
Are we really going to call that a sport?
I don't know.
I don't see it. Is it in the Olympics? Is polo water polo?
No, they took
in the
wrestling
Olympics.
Out, which is so weird. Anyway,
yeah, like polo is not in the Olympics, so I don't believe it's a sport. Skateboarding, fucking sport. Polo, not a sport.
Fine. The last. Two questions also, here from
two fucking 13-year-olds. One
sick, get, right?
Skate. See, here we go. Skateboarding not a sport. If 13-year-olds are the best in the world, that can't be a sport.
No,
that's just my
be.
Only rule.
It can't be.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm out.
David Orion H. Or I don't know why I said David. I don't know if your name is David first. D. Orion H. Summer of anything is possible. Is it time to circle back on Pettersson? I wish it was. It is not. They will match any sheet, and they will not trade him. They've been very clear about that.
Also, What has Chris Drury done to prove to you that he's got the balls to do that?
Yeah, that's true, too. Final question from legendary supporter Matty Jack. Hey, Ryan and Greg, big fan of the show. Quick question, what the fuck? Good point.
That's a good question.
It's true. It's true.
That's a good question. Fuck if I know. Seems to be like my go-to answer. It is just...
Hell of a show.
Did you expect Drury to flub this badly?
No.
On his first two big moves?
No. No.
Because we didn't love the 6 years, but I think people would have some people would have chirped us being like, you guys are being a little bit too forgiving. More forgiving than you probably would have been if this was anybody else had they given Barclay Goodrow a 6-year deal.
The 5 and 6 then, years are inexcusable. It's very hard to get behind, but I could kind of see why he did it.
I could see the vision. I could see the player being important enough where you need to make it worth his while to come to New York as opposed to going somewhere else where he has a very much – better path towards another championship than he would in New York. So I understand it from a you need to make it worth his while standpoint. The Buchnevich trade, again, it independent of how much I like the player, it's just fucking terrible asset management. I've never seen asset management that badly. And again, it would be one thing, right? Because Victor Arvidsson, we had a hard time when the Predators traded him and only got a second and a third in return. And we were like, that seems fucking weird. But maybe that's just because people aren't getting traded. So, if every trade was just Victor Arvidsson getting a second and a third, we'd probably look at the Buchnevich trade and go, all right, the value just isn't there. And that's just the market. That's what it is. It is what it is. But Rasmus Ristolainen happens. Seth Jones happens. Seth Jones extension happens. Whatever the fuck the Arizona Coyotes have been doing recently happens. And it's just all these other teams took advantage of dumb teams. And then it looked like the Rangers got taken advantage of, which I didn't think would happen.
And they did. And speaking of didn't taking advantage of, we'll talk about the UFA and see if the Rangers try and sign and get haggled into signing Dano, or any other UFAs on Wednesday. Any sign any more bottom line wingers. Maybe they trade for Ryan Reeves. Maybe they sign Jason Martinook. Who knows what is going on? But we'll do that all on BSBOT on Wednesday night.
Is there a different Martinook, or did you mean Jordan?
Did I say Jason? I'm sorry.
I'm
so sorry, Jordan. My apologies. I know he listens. Big fan. Okay, we'll be back Wednesday night on BSBOT. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Want to thank our supporters real quick, so let's do that. And as always, I want to thank our deep NHL insiders chat, who I've been keeping in touch with over the past insane week, who keep our podcast going, who we chat the deep, dark secrets of New York Rangers rumors together on our Patreon. And these people, these good people keep it going. Adam Cohen, Alex Gardner, Amber Cohensberger, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Brian Doyle, Broadway, Blue Shirt, Bleeder, Chris Finelli, CJ Silwagon, David Aronin, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Eric Stagg, George Obrinsky, Give Gartner a Cup, Jake Berkowitz, Jarian Marquez, JD, Jimmy Mack, Joshua Zarkin, Chris from Florida, Christoph Berg, Kyle Franklin, Lazik Bronkonski, Matthew Kind, Pavel Kodurev, Ryan, not me, of course, Stephen Lomayer, which I always mess up, Stig Bull from Also, Swinegart, The Drop BK, Tommy O'Neill, The Legendary Toy from Manhattan, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, and Will Spector. We would not be here without you. It's very true. I'm not lying. We wouldn't. And thank you for keeping the insider chat fun, lively, and of course, full of deep, 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 deep secrets. We'll be back on OT later this week when free agency opens on Wednesday night. You can hear from us on Patreon. Where else? Ryan, you're selling out. It's for the people. It's for the good people. We love you. We'll be back. Bye.